Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Some of you are kind of struggling a little bit financially. But when you understand how much God wants to bless you, and He's put into spiritual laws and so that He can bring forth blessings, and of course one of the spiritual laws in tithes and offerings. But I'll say this to you, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop with fatness. That's the King James. Another translation says, the Lord crowns your year with abundance, and whatever He touches in your life turns into a harvest. And that's what the dropping of oil off of wheels means. And so I'm a release over you that God's going to crown your year with abundance. And whatever He touches in your life will turn into a harvest. So I just release that over you. And we released that over our church. My associate pastor had this scripture about 5 or 6 years ago, at least. And this is on all of our bulletins. This is on everything we say. This scripture, we release it every year over the church. And I was telling Pastor Steve that our church has about an 85%+ tithers. And we've watched this just come to life. And we've seen some of them got this one girl... got a new house, all paid for. God is incredible. And but I want to really thank Steve and Kay for having us. We really love them. I'm 72 years old, and the Lord's put me as a father into the church. And every one of my spiritual sons and daughters, we love them, Dorothy and I. Because we get to invest in them. And we want them to succeed more than what we're doing. We want them to do more than what we know. I get excited when our sons and daughters get more anointed, more revelation, present more of Christ than we can. That's what it's all about. And yesterday, Pastor Steve got these bands that you work out with. He was working out so hard, I had to go take a nap. I tell you, it was... wore me out. But I'm 72. I can do that. I can go relax a little bit. But he's going to look like Superman in about a month or two. So he'll get up here and flex his muscles, and because he's working with these new bands. And I enjoyed watching him for about almost a half an hour. Then I had to go lay down. I'll tell you, I was wore out. Stacy, would you come up here? I saw this in the Spirit. I have a book. There's some books out there. It's 1 John 4:17. As He is, so are we. And the whole thing's about humility. See, humility is the number one attribute of God that releases grace. Grace only abounds through humility. And humility wakes up in us everything that belongs to God. And everything that belongs to God brings us up to a higher purpose, and that is to be conformed to the image of Christ. So when we walk in humility, it awakens grace in us, who awakens everything about God on the inside of us. And I just met this young lady just the other day. We came driving in, and your daughter was there. We were worshiping, and Dorothy went and got one of these books. I saw you. And I'm going to give you that book. But when the first time I met you the other day, I immediately saw your heart. and your heart's pure gold. And God looks at the heart. And so I want you, as you read that book, that's who you are. And you're going to become more like Jesus than you've ever been in your life. Because God has a higher purpose in your life than you're seeing right now. You've got glimpses of it, and you almost think it's not possible. But with God, everything's possible. So, that's you. Amen. And this dear brother down here, thank you. You helped us get in out of the rain, and you just got such a sweet spirit. And I want to give you that book, and because God, there's a greatness in you that you're going to wake up and see, and it's amazing what God's got into your life. And that book will help you become alive even more unto God. And so, praise God. I want to tell you something. One of the callings on my life is to introduce the church to the church. So I'm here today to introduce you to yourself. Some of you don't know who you are. But before this morning's over, you're going to know who you are. Amen. Then you have to decide whether you want to walk in who you are. Because I want to talk about the atmosphere of grace. Grace is greatly misunderstood. Grace and mercy are two different things. And most of the body of Christ walks in mercy. And they think it's grace. And so, for instance, you think that, well, I have grace when I'm upset. I have grace when I'm angry at a brother or sister. I have grace when I'm, you know, God gives me grace when I'm... No, He doesn't give you grace. He gives you mercy. See, mercy is when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. And God says, all right, I'll give you mercy on that. Grace doesn't. Grace works when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When you're walking in the new man. Because see, grace conforms us to the image of Christ. Grace gives us the ability not to sin. And where the atmosphere of grace is, sin can't dwell there. So as we come as the body of Christ, which we're so glad to be with you, you're just another part of our eternal family. And so we're going to be together forever. And so you just as well like that brother or sister, or God's going to set you right beside him for 1,000 years. I tease the body of Christ all the time, but some people in the body of Christ will get to heaven and won't know who they are because the old man doesn't go to heaven. The old man's been crucified. Only the new man goes to heaven. And to the degree that you know who you are, when you get to heaven, you'll know that much about yourself because we're being conformed to the image of Christ. But if we don't walk in the fullness, more and more of the fullness of Christ, see, since the old man doesn't go to heaven, you won't know who you are when you get there. If you're more identified with the old man, he's not there in heaven. So whatever degree of the new man that you put into your life, that part of you will know Jesus and know him more. You know, it's just an amazing thing. But your flesh won't go there. Amen. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and I could preach on every one of these scriptures, but I just want to read them because I'm going to set such a foundation that you'd have to be brain dead not to get what I'm going to say. Okay. I'm a farm boy from Kansas, and Dorothy and our first two churches, we love this building. It's awesome. It was out in eastern Colorado in cornfields. I was sitting out there just looking at the cornfields. Went walking down the field, looking at the corn, seeing what it was looking like. And we had two churches. And they sectioned off an acre of pasture ground and put a trailer house there. That was the parsonage. And Pleasant Valley was 5 miles this way. Wages was 6 miles that way. So every Sunday morning we would have like an 8 o'clock service in one church and 10 at the other. And then we'd switch it. But anyway, both those churches are over 100 years old. We loved it. And so being here, I'm just out there looking. Man, I'm like a kid with candy. I'm back out in the cornfields and an old building. So this is really a blessing. And the Lord's even spoken to me about some things, even this morning in worship, about the great glory and revival that's coming into this area. And I saw it. I saw it this morning in the Spirit. Lena's about to get saved. So is Pearl City. So is Freeport. I want to tell you something. All of this church, it's not about you and I, the church. It's not about lost souls. It's not about the world. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God has exalted Him and His name above all that there is. And so all this crazy anti-Christ stuff that's going on, it's not against you and I. It's against Christ. And since we have Christ in us, we become a target. A big bullseye. But God is honoring His Son. The prayer that Jesus prayed for unity in the church that would prove the world sent the Son, that's what's happening to us. God is bringing us into oneness with Himself because He's glorifying His Son. This whole thing's about trying to destroy the name of Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about Muhammad. But you don't dare mention Jesus. Why? Because His is the only name above every name. His is the only name that every knee will bow to, every tongue will confess that He's Lord. Everything in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And so the demons, the devil, they don't want that name mentioned. But guess what? God is going to make sure that the name of His Son is the most famous name on this earth before He comes to get us. So we're a part of making that happen. Because we make known His name. Not just in what we say, but who we are and what we do. So this morning I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet yourself. The real you. So I'm going to talk to the real you. You know, Paul didn't talk to the flesh. He talked to the real person, the real you, the new creation. So I'm just going to read some scriptures. And 1 John 1 says in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and faith. We have beheld His glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father." Verse 16, "And from His fullness have we all received grace upon grace." Now, that is awesome. Then we're just going to run through the Bible. Go up here to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Because see, every Christian should know their destiny. And I'm going to read your destiny, okay? It's in Romans 8, 29. "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among identical twins." It's the first chapter of my book. It's the fact that we are identical twins with Jesus. Our spirit is an identical twin with Him. But the point is this. Here's your destiny, church. You're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Now, if you don't want to be this side of heaven, when you get to heaven, you will be. The good news is, God said it, God's going to do it. And I want to be as changed as much as I can while I'm on earth. Because even Paul said, I haven't quite attained all this yet. But I keep pressing on. And I haven't attained all this yet. I'm like Dwayne Sheriff, every once in a while I do a piece of stupid. And I have to then make a decision to put that off because it's the old man and put on the new man. And so your destiny is to be made like Jesus. Sanctification is easy for me. The Holy Spirit takes your hand, walks you up to Jesus, and you look at Him and He's so glorious. And can you imagine the Holy Spirit looks at you and says, "You know, when I'm through with you, you're going to be just like Him." That's sanctification. I went to seminary. Can you believe it? We read a book that thick on sanctification. I read that book and had no idea what sanctification was. Are you kidding me? It's real simple. We're being predestined to be like Him, and the Holy Spirit is the one that brings the grace into our life to make that happen. Amen? You go rocking around Christians, and they say, well, what do you think? What's your destiny? And you just tell them, I'm going to be like Jesus. Oh, no, 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 brother, sister, tell me what your destiny is. I'm going to be like Jesus. There's no greater destiny than that. I can be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, miracle worker, have all the gifts of the Spirit. And that's all awesome, and God wants that. But that's not your identification. Your identification is Jesus. And out of being like Jesus, then He makes you what He wants you to be as part of His body. That's awesome. I'm going to try and keep going. I don't want to preach. All right. It's hard. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm sure these are all scriptures you've read. But I'm proving a point to you that I'm laying a foundation of who you really are. And then we can talk about how grace operates in that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Holy Spirit. So we're receiving grace upon grace, glory upon glory, predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's who we are. Then you go up over here to chapter 5. We all know these verses, and I'm going to start at verse 16. From now on, we regard no one in the flesh. Even though at one time we regarded Jesus in the flesh, we no longer regard anybody that way. Why? Because therefore, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this newness is from God through Jesus Christ, who reconciled us to Himself. Now, again, what is it talking about? We've been conformed to the image of the Son of God. We are a new creation. Amen? I'll say then, go over here to Galatians. One of my favorite chapters. 2, verse 20. This is where Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. But let me show you these words in the Greek. The first word says that I have been crucified. That word I there is ego. It's the old man. It's self. And Paul says it this way. I, the old man, have been crucified with Christ. I, the old man, no longer live. But I, the new man, live. And the life that I, the new man, lives is by faith in Jesus Christ. Or really, literally, by the faith of Jesus Christ. So there's a distinction there. Paul is saying the old man has been crucified. So I want to tell you about how grace worked in your life. When you got born again, there was a twofold work of grace. The first thing the Holy Spirit did by grace was kill you. He crucified the old man. Because see, the old man is hostile towards God. He cannot, not that he won't, he cannot submit to God. Why? Because he has no spirit life in him. He's dead. And so the first thing the Holy Spirit did was crucify him. Then the second thing, he raised up the new image of Christ. And it takes the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to make those two things keep going. It takes the grace of God to keep the old man on the cross. He doesn't give you grace to come off the cross. Grace of God keeps you on the cross. You have mercy in your life when you decide not to walk in the Spirit. You decide to walk in the flesh. Then that's mercy, not grace. But if you live in grace, the old man stays on the cross. The new man just goes and you go from glory to glory, grace to grace, faith to faith, victory to victory. All right. And then the last one, and the next one then, is I think the last one here. Oh, yes, Ephesians, since we're making a run through the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now, this is powerful. Because this is who we are. I love being like Jesus. One of the greatest honors you'll ever have is when someone comes up to you and says, you know, you remind me of Jesus. What is a greater honor than that? Now, what false humility does is, oh, brother, not me. I'm so unworthy. That's the flesh. It's not the new man. The new man rejoices. What do you want to say? Oh, no. If someone comes up and says, you remind me of the devil, oh, thank you. I'm so glad I'm like him. Yeah, I know I'm not perfect and I do all these dumb things. No, I love it if someone comes up. You make me think of Jesus. I sense His presence when you're around me. There's not a higher honor than that. And that's where humility and grace will take you. Because as He is, the next verse I'm going to show you after these two is what my book is all about. 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world. But it says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And He, the Father, has put all things under His, the Lord Jesus, His feet, and has made Him, the Lord Jesus, head over all the church. Now, here's who we are, which is His body. Look at that scripture up there. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Church, we are the fullness of Christ in body form. We're His fullness. And the church, grace grows us into that fullness. Makes us like Jesus. The whole, in Ephesians chapter 3, and then go to chapter 4, talks about the fivefold ministry. I'm teaching a series at our church now on fullness. The fullness of Christ, the fullness of God. Who we are as the fullness of His body. And that only works by grace. Only works by grace. Anybody ever get offended? Jesus said this, in the world it's impossible for offenses not to come, but He did not say that it's impossible to not be offended. He just said the offense will come. You don't have to take it. The new man, how many of you know you can't offend Jesus? You say, well, if I don't act right, that's offensive to Him. No, it's not offending Him, because here's what an offense is. An offense is when you value what someone else has said or done to you above what Christ has done for you. And see, so the new man, you can't offend the new man. So if you and I put on the new man, you can't be offended. Because you don't put value in anything but the Word of God. But the old man can get offended. You know why? Because, see, church, we don't have a sin problem anymore. Romans chapter 6. We have dominion over sin. What we have is a self problem. Not S-I-N, but S-E-L-F. Self problem. We have a self problem. The old self that's crucified. But you know, we can sow to the flesh, or we can sow to the Spirit. Right? Before I got born again, before you and I got born again, I was a mess. I mean, I'm out drinking and partying and fighting and whatever was there to do, I was in the middle of it. I could not sow to righteousness because I was not righteous. I could not sow to a righteous nature. I didn't have one. So the only thing I could sow to was my flesh. And that's why I'd go out, just get stoned out of my brain, go home and lay my head on the throne, which is the stool, because the ring is real cold and my head is blowing up. I laid my head at the altar of the stool many times. Some of you that drink a lot or used to drink know what I'm talking about. Right after I threw up. And then I'd get up and I'd, oh, Jesus, forgive me. I'm never going to do this again. And I'd turn right around and do it again. Why? I wasn't born again. I knew the Lord. I mean, I grew up in church and we loved the Lord and everything. But I couldn't break the old man because it's something you can't do. Because that's who you was. That was my nature. I couldn't sow to righteousness. Now, here's the thing about Christians. And I've talked to the Lord about this. I said, why don't you just, once you crucify the old man, just throw him out of our life and just let us just be the new man. Well, there would not be a relationship. Because relationships built on, I love you more than I love the old man. I love the kingdom of God more than the world. I love the spirit more than the flesh. And one of the things the Lord showed me at the shepherd's house when I went and got away and spent time with him, and he said it would be a place for the flesh to die and the spirit to live. And that's not an exciting message. Unless you understand what God is doing in your life, and when you understand who the real you are, because see, when I say that your flesh dies and your spirit lives, your new man should be jumping up and doing cartwheels. Because he's just like Jesus. He's excited. And so when we got born again, something happened. Now, I could still sow to the flesh. But now, I can sow to the Spirit. Couldn't do that before. My heart and your heart is where we make that decision. A lot of people think our will is in our soul. Now, I'll tell you, it's not. Because if my will was in my soul, I would never surrender. And other people say, your will is in your spirit. And I'm telling you, it's not. Because if it's in my spirit, I'd never sin. Where is it located? In your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where you find your treasure is where you find your heart. What you are passionate about in your heart, that's what you will pursue. And if your heart is in love with the world, you will pursue the flesh. If you're after prestige, if you're after honor, if you're after whatever it is, that's worldly and not of the kingdom. And if that's the biggest desire of your heart, you will follow that desire of your heart. But if the Lord is the desire of your heart, the Word, the love, just Jesus is the desire of your heart, then every desire of your heart is going to pull you out of that old into the new. Does it make sense to you? So here we are as Christians. We have the ability to make a decision that the world can't make. We can sow to righteousness because that's who we are in Christ Jesus. He knew no sin. What happened to him? He became sin that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. You are a new creation. The real you is in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The real you only knows God. So, the heart then, it's a heart issue. What is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. Then your mind, soul, and strength. And so, the issue, church, is we've got to love the Lord with all of our heart. And as we love the Lord with all of our heart, guess what we're going to put on the new man. We're going to put on the new man in every area of life. So you can't offend the new man. So who gets offended? It's the flesh. And I'll show you how to separate this. The works of the flesh are written down real plain. And we all struggle with maybe get angry or depressed or discouraged or offended or somebody does something and we have a hard time forgiving them. But when you say, I can't forgive you, who is the I you're talking about there? It's the old man. It's the flesh. It's self. Because the new man lives in forgiveness. Because since Jesus is a forgiver and I'm made into his image, I am a forgiver. I forgive you before you ever did anything to make me upset. Because I live in forgiveness. Because I am forgiveness. Love. Grace brings us into the fullness of love. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. We know those scriptures. Even the world uses those in weddings. Right? Because it's beautiful. You read that and say, and even the world, and you know, I know some people that are my friends. They're not even born again. But they're nicer than a lot of Christians I know. Because just because people are in the flesh doesn't mean they're evil. It just means they're not born again. But there's a lot of good people that are even godly. But they're not born again yet. But Christians, see, I never get bothered by the world acting like the world. How can you expect them to act any other way? And what churches do, here's what pastors do, that they speak to the soul instead of the spirit. So instead of grace, it turns into law. And they try and get the old man to do what he can't do. Be righteous. So it turns into the letter of the law. And everybody knows, yeah, I know I should be that way. I know I shouldn't do this. And I know what the word says. But I'm here to introduce you to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to your spirit. We're talking spirit to spirit here. I don't know you after the flesh. I only know you as a new creation. But you got to know yourself as a new creation. And so you have to distinguish. I used to live in depression. I even ended up trying to commit suicide. Should have died. And that was after I was a Christian. You know why? Because I was so into that demonic spirit. I was so into that suicide in my mind. I was meditating more on that than what Jesus was trying to do in my life. And I was a baby Christian. But I know, because I didn't know how to distinguish who I really was and that depression that was demonically controlling my life. So when I say I was depressed, who was I talking about? Talking about the old man. I am no longer depressed because I'm living in the new man in that area. You understand what I'm saying to you? So if you're going along and you're saying, man, you know, that brother, just, boy, he really offended me. Boy, I can't believe he said that about me or she said that about me. And I just thought they were my friend. And they've been talking about my behind my back. And man, I'm really offended. Well, who's talking there? It's not the new man. It's the old man. It's self. Because see, the old man's all about self. Well, that made me feel bad. That's not the new man. It's the old man. Because the new man can't feel bad. God never has a bad day. God never feels bad. And I used to be the worst feeler batter in the whole world. I mean, if I was Eeyore type of guy, you know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. That's the way I was. I mean, I lived that way. Just depressed. It's horrible. So if any of you are facing depression, I want to tell you right now, that's not the new you. It's the old man. So how did I put him off? I lived by faith. Brother Hagin said this. He said, you know, when you live by faith, you don't live by your feelings. So don't act on your feelings. And man, that went right into my heart. And I said, okay, Lord. So there would be times in depression that I would have the curtains drawn. It was dark. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I just want to be left alone. I just want to feel sorry for myself. Because see, self-pity is not the old man. It's the old man, not the new man. And when Jesus comes to the table, he doesn't, he spoils the party. He'll spoil your self-pity party. Because he won't agree with you. I like the story of a little 7-year-old girl in school. And there was a teacher that was an atheist, and she just finally said, all right, what would you do if the devil knocked on your door? She said, I'd just let Jesus answer it. That's the way we need to live. We got to have, unless you become like a child, you're not going to enter into the experience of the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean you won't be in heaven. You've got to receive the kingdom. So I'm just a little child on the inside. I just believe Jesus. I just love Jesus. Jesus is a little child before the Father. Father's his daddy. And so he's ours. So I begin to, if I didn't feel like getting out of bed, I'd get out of bed. If I didn't feel like visiting somebody, I'd go visit somebody. Whatever that depressive thing was doing in my life, I just started ignoring it and acting by faith according to the Word of God. And it set me free. You go back to the chapter 1 or chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. See, you got to understand something. Love is who you are. That's your nature. That's the real you. You are patient. You are kind. And you read all the attributes of love because what does it say about God? God is love. And if you and I are being conformed to His image and likeness, then we are love. We are the essence of love. We are the essence of God. So those aren't just things that we read about. That's who we are. I am patient. I am kind. That's who we are. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's why you can't offend me unless I decide to live in self. I used to live in self-pity parties. And they're self-pity parties. It's all self. It's not the new man. So I've learned it in my life. Whatever the old man is doing, Jesus shows up and just destroys that old man party. You and I, it takes the grace of God for us to really, truly forgive somebody. It's not something you can do in your own strength. But since you are forgiveness, because you're just like Him, it's automatic to be able to forgive somebody. And by the way, I don't really have to forgive you because you never bothered me in the first place. This is so much fun. See, when we walk in unforgiveness, we value the loss, not the cross. We value what that person said or did to us, not what Jesus has done and says about us. So since the old man's on the cross, you can. If you notice there's cemeteries around, you know who's in cemeteries. They're dead. And you can go to any cemetery, stand on a grave, you can curse that person, you can spit on the grave, or you can tell that person that you're the greatest person that ever lived on earth. You know you'll get no response. None. Well, it's the same way with the old man. He's dead. See, pride is what God resists. The enemy's number one weapon against the church is pride. Because God, the Holy Ghost, resists the proud. The number one weapon of the Christian is humility. Because grace abounds only through humility. And what does humility do? I just happen to believe everything this Word says about me. I just believe it. And the thing you see, when you don't believe this, oh, I could never be that way. You know, I'm just, oh, it's all the Lord, it's not me. That's false humility. It is you in agreement with God being a co-laborer. If you didn't go lay hand on a sick, they're not going to get healed. You're the hand of Jesus. If you don't go and preach the gospel, it's not going to be heard. Oh, it's not me, it's Jesus. No, it's you and Jesus working together as one. The new spirit working with the Spirit of God. You become, you read that song, you become the move of God. You become His voice, His hands, His eyes, His ears, His feet. Because you're the living temple of the Holy God. And He owns us. He bought us with a price. We're not our own. It's the most... You know, Jesus only made one decision in His life. That's it. Just one. It was very simple. Father, not my will. Thy will be done. And after that, what did He do? I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. All these works, they're not mine. These are the Father's works going through me. So all He had to do was spend time with the Father, stay in the Word of God, and then go out and say what the Father told Him to say. He'd go get alone and pray with the Father, and then He'd go out and do what He saw the Father show Him to do all day long. We can live that way. This is my goal. I haven't received that, but I'm moving into that direction. That's why my whole goal in my life, I spend a lot of time with the Lord, because I try and what's He saying, I'll go say it. What He's doing, I'll go follow Him. And of course, a lot of it, you see it right here. So, Moses, you know, wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses already also wrote, Moses is the meekest man on the earth. There's nobody on earth more humble than Moses. And humility is the absence of pride. Stephen was filled with grace. When you're filled with grace, that means you're filled with a new man, and that pride is not in your life anymore, because the Holy Spirit will resist your pride. So, here you are, you're Moses right now, okay? And just see yourself. You're writing as the Holy Spirit's inspiring you. And you're writing. And finally, the Holy Spirit says, oh yeah, Steve Castle, you're the most humble man on all the earth. And you go, me? Oh, I can't write that. Well, you disqualified yourself. You disqualified yourself because what God says you are, that's who you are. And if you didn't see yourself that way, you wouldn't be able to write that. Moses believed God. And so Moses just said, okay, basically what he said was, I'm the most humble man in all the earth. Why? Because God said so. That's humility. It's believing what God says about you. When He says you're this way, you're that way. So you know, if someone had come up to you, could be a believer or an unbeliever, probably a believer, and say, well, just who do you think you are? Well, I think I'm just like Jesus. Well, you don't act like it sometime. Yeah, maybe I don't. But I'm working on that. Because I'm declaring I'm like Jesus. And Jesus doesn't do that. And I'm like Him, therefore, I will not let that old man rule. I used to be a drunk. You're not going to get me drunk anymore. I used to do all those crazy things. I'm not going to do that no more. Why? Because I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. You're made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives you the grace to be that way. So how do we hinder grace? We operate in self. We operate in the old man. Well, I can't believe they did that to me. Who are you talking about? Not the new man. You're identifying with your old self. And so much of the body of Christ is more identified with the old man than the new man, because you grew up from the time you were born with the old man. You were born with an old nature. Babies aren't sweet. They wake you up at 2 or 3 in the morning with loud cries and tears to have their diapers changed, to be fed. Now, are they sweet? Absolutely, the sweetest thing in the world. But they're also the most fleshly thing in the world. Because it's all about little babies, it's all about themselves. And that's okay, because they are 100% dependent upon our love for them. And so we grew up, we started out as a baby Christian. We would wake up in the middle of the night and bawl and squall and scream and kick and yell. Why? Because we're being changed as we mature. And we're 100% dependent upon the Father's love for us. But see, here's the difference. When babies grow up, they become mature. I mean, if my 31-year-old son was still in diapers and bawling and squalling, he would be sick. Well, a lot of Christians are sick spiritually because they don't understand that that old man is dead and Christ is now my life. And grace gives me the ability for that to happen. If this is a grace church, then the atmosphere of grace wants to be here. And let me show you this in Acts chapter 4. This is so awesome. And you know, this is a beautiful place, church, but you people are beautiful. When Dorothy and I walked in, you had umbrellas for us and you greeted us and loved us. And I'm telling you right now, there's a whole lot of love and grace operating in this place. And it's wonderful. But it's not enough. Because God wants to create the atmosphere of glory and grace so strong on the church that this community will start getting saved. Because there's an atmosphere of that to happen. In Acts chapter 4, you know, that's when they came and threatened them, and don't you teach and preach in this name anymore. And they went and got the church together and said, listen to what they said. But behold their threatens, God. You behold their threatenings. But you grant unto us boldness to speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. Signs and wonders being done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And as they prayed, the place was shaken with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with God again. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And how did they speak it? With signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. Right? Then it says this. See, we like that part of Scripture. Signs and wonders and miracles. Glory to God. But listen to the next verse, 32. Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things he possessed was his own. They had everything in common. Now I'm not saying we sell all our stuff, but here's the point. They were of one heart and one soul. They were of one mind, the mind of Christ. They were of one heart, the heart of God. And there was no selfish people among them. There was no selfish people among them. Selfish people are Christians that walk in self. The Lord set me free from this years and years ago. Because people would come to the shepherd's house and they would check us out. Well, do they have a children's church? Do they have a youth group? Well, I don't like the worship. Well, I didn't like what the pastor said. Well, Guess what? That's flesh. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, son, I want you to know one thing. I look at every heart that comes into this church. And if they are not totally mine, and they're going to come in here with their flesh, I won't let them stay. He said, they think they're coming to check you out. He said, I check everyone out that comes here. And if their heart's right and they're here by my appointment, then they're going to be a part of the body. And so I've taught my people that if you are called to the shepherd's house, and I'll say this, if you are called to beloved by God Almighty Himself, by the Son of God Himself, anointed by the Holy Spirit to be here, then you're just as called as Pastor Steve. A different position. Because there's only one body. The body of Christ. And it takes all of us walking in the Spirit. And I'm not talking about just, you know, people can operate in the gifts of the Spirit and be a carnal as a $3 bill. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, look at the Corinthians. Paul says, man, you come behind in no gift but your carnal. You fight, you fuss, I'm of this person, I'm of that person, and I've got you all beat. I'm of Christ. And as long as there's divisions and strife among you, he said, you are carnal. What does he mean? You are self-centered instead of Christ-centered. And the gifts of the calling will operate in a carnal environment. But what God wants, church, is the atmosphere of grace. The atmosphere of grace, where we're all of one heart and one soul because we're all surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there's a created atmosphere where there's no selfishness. There's nobody being selfish. Self doesn't get its way. Well, I'll just, you know, church is split over selfish people. But watch what happened then. They're all of one heart. They're one mind. They're in unity. And, verse 33, with great grace the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we know that there were signs and wonders and miracles happening. But listen to this next verse. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. See, grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is the atmosphere of God, the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. This word grace here in the Greek, it's charis, but it's also synonymous with doxa, which is glory. And what was going on here, it was a specific manifestation of God with His people, where the atmosphere of grace and glory, the atmosphere of heaven, was there. And so what does that mean? There was no flesh getting its way. Because you go to chapter 5, Pastor brought it up this morning, there was two people, Ananias and Sapphira, that were in the flesh. And it didn't go too good for them. Because you see, no liar can live in the kingdom of God. So with great grace upon the church, it was the very atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven that had now come to earth by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The very rule of heaven came to earth. Great grace, the very grace of heaven was on them on earth. And in that atmosphere of grace and glory, great fear of the Lord went out to all the people when Ananias and Sapphira died. And the people held them in honor. But after that, you get the middle of chapter 15. And this is chapter 5. This is God's form of evangelism. Multitudes, both the men and women, were being added to the Lord in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them out. At least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. And people from around the different cities, Bethlehem and all the others, were bringing them to Jerusalem. And guess what? They were all being healed. Can you imagine the atmosphere of grace here so strong at the Love Church that you come to church and there's people laying out on the streets and stretchers, ambulances bringing people from hospitals, and other cities coming here, and every one of them being healed? There would be multitudes added to the Lord. Why? Because the church was under grace. The church was living in the dynamics of the kingdom and glory of God on earth. And that's who we are. As He is, so are we. As He is where? In heaven, so are we on earth. We've already been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you've been risen with Christ and you have, seek those things that are above, where your life is hidden with Christ, because you've died. Who died? Your old man died to the world. Your new you is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ, who is your life, appears in glory, you appear with Him. Because we're in glory with Him right now. He's in us. Church, the greatest thing that's coming on the earth, the revival of God, the glory revival, I saw it over 40 years ago in a vision, is simply the church becoming normal. It's simply the church becoming normal with the atmosphere of heaven where the Holy Spirit is not grieved or quenched, and where there's carnality and this and that and well, I think I run the church and no, you don't. We have a lot of demon boards and not deacon boards in churches. I'm literally mean that because they pick people in the flesh that has money, that's well known in the community. And so churches put them on their board. And guess what? They run the church, and the church is carnal. But when Jesus runs the church, the atmosphere is love, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's a manifestation of the kingdom. And it says we serve Him in the kingdom, in these things. So I'm telling you, this is coming to the whole body of Christ. Because the Lord is bringing you to Himself, according to John 17:22, the glory that the Father gave Him, He gave us. So that we can be one with Him and the Father, and with each other. And out of this oneness, the world will know that He sent His Son and loves us as He loved Him. Church, we're on this earth in Jesus' stead. He's the head, we're the body. And He's working all of His fullness on earth through Him. And what He began to do, we now are fulfilling by the Spirit. It's still Jesus working on the earth, just in a different body. Same Father, same Holy Spirit. We are the kingdom of God on earth. And you can't live in that kingdom and operate in it unless you live in grace and humility. Grace gets a bad rap. Oh, we're under grace. We're a grace church. And this is grace. Don't tell me what to do now. That's law. Are you kidding me? You're being made in the image of Jesus Christ, and you're telling me that it's law for you to not be holy? It's law that you don't walk in righteousness? It's law when the Holy Spirit spanks your bottom with the Word of God and disciplines the flesh and says, don't you dare act that way again in church? Yeah, but if they let me be on the worship team, they'd really know what worship was. Really? That's probably why you're not on the worship team. See, whenever you exalt yourself, you're going to devalue Christ in your life and in the life of the body. We're a body. In a body. Pastor Steve is the head, under the head. You got Pastor Dennis. You have the shoulders. You have the government. You have the leaders, the elders. You have the government. That's the shoulders. But then you have to have arms and legs and feet and hands and the internal organs. I believe when I get to heaven, we'll see some little old ladies over there with huge crowns on. And the Lord will say, you know, because of her prayers, you were able to do what you did. She's the hidden part of the body that Paul says are even more valuable than what you can see. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, church. There's a freshness coming upon you. I'm telling you right now, since I've come here and released this to you, the kingdom of God is going to start coming here in greater and greater power. Because you are going to let the old man be crucified and you're going to start walking in who you really are. Amen. That is so powerful. And I'll finish with this scripture because I'm talking on the fullness. Because what we do as a church, we build each other up in love. I need you. You need me. I need you to be a part of the body here. If Christ Jesus has called you here, you're just as called as Pastor Steve or Pastor Dennis or any of the leaders. If Jesus Christ called you here, then you become the part of the body that He called you here to be. And it'll cause the body to grow up in love. It's easy to criticize. And I'll tell you something. I know you always say this is the first last inning, but this is running through my heart. A lot of Christians come at the shepherd's house and they'll say, well, you know, man, you need to have, I could just see us doing this on a certain day and we could feed people and we could do these things and man, that'd be awesome if you'd just do that, Pastor. And then they leave upset with me because I didn't do what they thought should be done. But watch what was happening. They came in as a hand. They looked around. Hey, there's no hand in here. You should have a hand. Well, Pastor, you didn't listen to me. Well, guess what? They're the hand. The reason they saw what was lacking, because they were sent to fulfill in that part of the body what was lacking. But if you're carnal, you're into pride, and you come in and you see something that's not working, well, it's the pastor's fault. It's the leadership's fault. Well, I'm going to go tell them, by golly, you need to do this. Oh, really? No, you need to do it. Well, no, I just want to come in here and criticize. Well, that's flesh. And I'm like, there's the door. I don't have to say anything. Holy Spirit deals with it. But I'm telling you, church, when you're called here, you have a purpose. And you'll be just, there's no greater calling than another. Here's the greatness of a calling. Did you obey? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So let me read this to you. It's in Ephesians. And you're familiar with it, but I believe that the Lord has opened your eyes to something greater to show you that these aren't just words in black and white paper. This is Christ writing in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You become a living epistle of the Lord Jesus. And this is what the Lord's after, church. In chapter 3. For this reason, verse 14, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom our family in heaven and earth are named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That word know there is to intimately know. To have an intimate relationship with Jesus. That you might know Him, the depth of His love, that surpasses knowledge, that you, as a body, may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then, chapter 4 says this, that the fivefold ministry comes until we all attain to the unity of the faith, till we attain to the knowledge of the Son of God. That moves from unity to intimacy. And that we become mature. What is that? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men and the craftiness and deceitful wiles, rather speaking the truth in love. And that doesn't mean getting it off your chest. I'm saying this, brother, but I'm saying it in love. You're a mess. And if you just straighten up and do what I tell you to do, you'd just be more like Jesus. No, this is speaking love. You become a voice that imparts grace to the ears of the hearer. Speaking the truth in love, that we're to grow up in every way. Grow up to what? Into Him, into Christ, who is the head. We're growing up into Him, from whom the whole body, joined together, with which is every joint that it supplies, when each part is working properly, what happens? It makes bodily growth, and it builds itself in love. And what is the bodily growth? Into the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's who we are, church. And this is what must happen here. And that's what is going to happen here, because I believe you're going to obey and understand what grace is all about. And if you're going to repent, you're going to say, Lord, I was wrong. And you're going to separate self from the real you. Amen? Amen. Well, just say, Lord, introduce me to myself. So I can be more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for having me, Pastor Steve. My honor.